Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Dear saints, there is a time to be born and a time to die. Today you heard that it was time for Moses to die. And someday we too will all have to die. So I pray we let Moses be an example for us. Now I've heard that at the moment of death, your entire life will flash before your eyes. Imagine that with Moses. Imagine you're seeing his life through his mind's eye. Here he is in a basket, floating in the Nile River. And now he's rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, but he grows up in his own home, and for 40 years he lives as a prince in Egypt. But then he goes to protect an Israelite and murders an Egyptian. He buries the man in the desert, but the deed is known, and he flees into hiding. And for 40 years he is in the wilderness. He's a shepherd for the flocks of Jethro. He marries Jethro's daughter, Zipporah, and starts a family. And then at age 80, Moses sees an unforgettable sight, a bush burning without consuming the branches or the leaves. And there in the midst of the burning bush is the angel of the Lord who speaks to Moses as the divine name and sends him as a prophet to his people. More scenes of Moses' life would pass before us then, one after another. The appearances before Pharaoh, "Let my people go." The staff turning into a snake. The Nile turning into blood. The 10 plagues. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. The hardening of the people's lives. And then the instructions for the Passover. The lamb's blood on the door. The mourning of the Egyptian firstborn and the flight night. And then, how could you forget, the exodus of the people that comes to a dead end. Mountains on the left and the right and the Red Sea in the front and the armies of Pharaoh behind. But Moses puts his staff onto the water of the sea and the people cross over on dry ground. And then Pharaoh and his armies are consumed by the sea. How they rejoiced and praised God for that deliverance. Whew. And the Lord brings them back to the mountain where Moses had seen the burning bush. But now the entire mountain is on fire, and the Lord speaks from this cloud and fire and the Ten Commandments and summons Moses up onto the mountain to stand before the throne of God. And in the council of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses fasts and receives the instructions of building the dwelling of God on earth, the tabernacle, where God would meet with man. Moses comes down off of the mountain with 2 tablets, written by the finger of God Himself. And the scenes are flashing now. The golden calf, the intercession of Moses that restrained the wrath of God, the snakes and the bronze serpent that saved the people, the construction of the tabernacle, the anointing of Aaron and his sons to serve as priests, the fire of God that consumed the sacrifice, and the glory of God that filled the temple. Moses would wear a veil because his face was shining, because that light would fade. Moses asked to see the face of God, and God put him in the crack of the rock and caused his glory to pass before him, saying, "I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. 2 came back with a report of faithful exuberance, and 10 came back with fear. And the people listened to the 10, so that the Lord gave them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years of trouble, 40 years of temptation, 40 years of manna, 40 years of protection, 40 years that Moses used to publish Genesis and his four other books, but also 40 years of funerals. None of the men who came out of Egypt would go into the promised land, only their children. In some way, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness was a 40-year funeral procession. And now we come to the end. The edge of the Jordan River, and there is only one left to die. Moses, 120 years old, but his eyes, the text tells us, were undimmed and his vigor unabated. Other than Jesus and King David, we know more about Moses than any other character in the Scriptures. His life was stunning. They could make movies about it. Oh, wait, they did. This life of Moses is a picture of law and gospel. Moses, after all, is the lawgiver, the man chosen by God to bring the Ten Commandments down from the darkness on the mountain. Moses' preaching had in it the thundering of God, His holiness and wrath over sin. But Moses is not all law. Moses fashions the bronze serpent on the pole to save the people, a prophetic picture of Jesus lifted up on the cross. Moses builds the tabernacle and puts in place the sacrifices with the blood of bulls and goats, sanctifying the people so God could come and meet with them and bless them. It's through Moses that God rescues the people, claims them as His own, sanctifies them, brings them to the very edge of the promised land, and gives them the liturgy and the divine service, the priesthood, the Ark of the Covenant, with the mercy seat, the Torah, and the promise that another would come, a prophet like Moses from the people. Now imagine Moses as a 120-year-old man, still full of life, standing on Mount Nebo across the Jordan at the end of his life, and it is none of these things that flash before his eyes. Instead, the Lord puts before him a land of promise. Because Moses is a Christian, and because the Lord intends for Moses to die as he lived, with faith and hope. Moses could look back on his life and see in 1,000 different ways how the Lord had blessed him and kept him. But now Moses is on the edge of death. And the Lord has him see not the things that are behind, but rather the things that are ahead. Moses, there on the top of Mount Nebo, looks across and sees the mountains of Judah. There is Bethlehem, the village where Jesus will be born. There flowing below him is the Jordan River, where Jesus will be baptized and John will preach, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's the wilderness of Judea, where the devil will tempt Jesus for 40 days and nights. To the north is Galilee, where Jesus will teach, preach, and call his disciples, where he will announce the coming of God's kingdom, the Christian church. And even further north is the mountain where Moses will stand with Jesus and Elijah and the three apostles to talk with Jesus about his own exodus. And there, directly in front of Moses, is Jerusalem, a city of peace, the city of the great King, where Jesus will suffer and die and be lifted high on a cross, taking God's wrath in your place, in Moses' place, in the place of all sinners. And there, too, is the grave that will be empty. There is the Mount of Olives where Jesus will ascend to the Father's right hand and reign over all things for the sake of His church. Yes, for Moses, the best is yet to come. Because even this is not the end. This same Jesus will return as He left, hands in blessing for His people, and then there will be resurrection of the body and life everlasting who look forward to His coming. Remember, friends, Moses here is our example, an example of faith and hope. Moses doesn't die looking backward, looking to the victory over Pharaoh, the triumph in the sea, the glory on the mountain. No, Moses is our example as he dies, looking to the promises that God has set before him. And we are the same. The Lord took us and drew us out of the waters of our own baptism. He rescued us with the blood of the Lamb. He called us to love our neighbor and to give thanks to Him with our lives. The Lord has brought all of us through this life of joys and sorrows according to His mercy and kindness. But when we come to the end, to our last hour, the Lord points our eyes to His unwavering promises, to Jesus, who was crucified and raised for us, who now intercedes for us at the Father's throne, and who will soon return for us so that where He is, we will be also. The best is yet to come. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting await. Eternal life is a ripe promise. And when our time has come and we stand on the edge of life and death, the Lord's promises will carry us forward to a joy that knows no end. And we will at last see the Lord Jesus face to face. In His name, amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till He returns again in glory. Amen.